The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name. Preach to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with powers from on high." And then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and he blessed them. And as he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. The first reading, which we have from the Acts of the Apostles, mentions 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus is ascended into heaven. Now, the number 40, so we understand where it comes from, is a biblical number, and it does not mean literally 40. Go back into the Old Testament, and Moses was 40 days in the presence of his God before he got the commandments. The people of Israel wandered for 40 years in the desert to get to the promised land. You might remember Noah and the flood. 40 days, the flood, 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah, in the book of Kings, he has to travel from Mount Carmel to Mount Horeb, to Holy Mountain. He walks for 40 days. And interestingly, the kings of Israel, Saul and David and Solomon, each ruled for 40 years. So the word 40 is meant to designate a period of time. Jesus, when he went into the desert to fast and be tested, he fasted and he prayed for 40 days. So the number 40 is not meant to be literal, it's meant to be taken as a time of teaching, a time of revelation. And now Jesus will say, "Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you." We'll celebrate that next Sunday on Pentecost. Pentecost is to be taken literally. It comes from a Greek word meaning 50th, and it's 50 days after the Passover. Let me look at the teaching about the triumph of Jesus. This ascension is the triumph of Jesus' love over the world. It's a triumph of love, triumph of sacrifice, a triumph of miracles. It's a triumph. So let me speak about the infinite love of God insofar as this is the triumph of love. Now, when we become familiar with the love of God, and that's what empowers us and calls us to belong, there are two schools of thought in theology about understanding and experiencing the love of God. Two strange words, kataphatic and apophatic. Now, they're strange words, but I'm hoping in the next 5-7 minutes, I will convince you that kataphatic and apophatic are very fundamentally important to understand when we begin to approach and reflect on the meaning of God's love and the experience of God's love. They come from Greek words, which is not important. But kataphatic means the positive identification of God's love. We say God is love. Not God loves, God is love. God is forgiveness. We begin to define the love of God. And read the life of Jesus and you'll find all the human examples that convince us of the richness and the power of the infinite love of God. Why, Jesus, read chapter 15 in Luke, the prodigal son, the unconditional love of the Father, reflecting the love of God. Look at also in John's Gospel, the Samaritan woman, five times married, living with a man who is not her husband. Jesus welcomes her. And also in John, the woman taken in adultery, Jesus does not make any judgment about her. He sets her free. This is the love of God. These are examples in the Gospels. Jesus heals the leper, raises the dead, feeds the multitude, no charge, no conditions. It's a free act of God's love, cataphatic. On the cross, in Luke's Gospel, Jesus accepts the criminal into paradise without condition, without reservation, without demand. These are examples that we take, that Jesus reveals to us about God's love. And then we say, how much does God love us? And Jesus says, I suffered and I died for you while you were still sinners. That's the positive identification of God's love. It's called cataphatic. Apophatic is different now. And the notion of apophatic interpretation of God's love goes back to very early in the church. And this is a statement that the love of God is not what we think it is. The love of God is infinite, incomprehensible to us, beyond all our logic, beyond all our reasoning, beyond all our expectations. The love of God is beyond us. In our human condition, the love of God is incomprehensible. Cataphatic means we have examples of it, but not the fullness of it. In the apophatic theology of God's love, it's beyond us. It's immense, beyond any reasoning, beyond any logic, beyond any human interpretation. The love of God is greater than anything we could possibly imagine. That's what infinite means. How big is infinite? Well, it's very big. Well, is it this big? Would it cover this sin or that sin or this failure? Yeah, it's very big, very infinite, it's big. It's beyond our comprehension. That's how big it is. What does this mean to us in practice? Well, when we go to prayer, what love, what God do we experience in prayer? I do a holy hour every day. I'm by myself. It's very quiet. It's very silent. It's a time of listening. Usually I go to the Carmelite sisters in Alhambra because the chapel is very quiet. There's no interruption, no noise, no distraction. There are times when I get the fringes, even the margins, of apophatic love of God. When I get this feeling, the infinite love of God embraces me. I'm God's son. I'm precious in the eyes of God. God would never hurt me. I don't have to qualify. I don't have to do anything. I just have to be. But how do you get this apophatic experience of love? Only by an enormous leap of faith. No reason, no logic. You have to take this reckless statement of faith. And with this reckless abandonment act of faith, you may experience the fact that doesn't matter about your sins, doesn't matter about your failures, you're young, you're crazy, you're old, you're lonely, you're mixed up, you're struggling and failing in life. Incomprehensible, infinite love embraces you. Never question the infinity of God's love. And when you experience this, there's a whole peace, a sense of wellness. There's no fear anymore. There's a sense of God's presence surrounding you, uplifting you. Life is worth living in apophatic love. But then the next day when I go to prayer, I get back to cataphatic. I say, well, I don't know. It sounds a little good to be true. Maybe it's not that easy. Okay. And you know, when somebody dies that was very holy and virtuous, we say, that person went straight to heaven. You mean they merited heaven? Oh yeah, they were very virtuous. That's not infinite love. That's love that is earned. It's merit. Now listen to some of the prayers in the church and you'll find this merit theology, that I have to merit, I have to save my soul. You can't save your soul. Only God can save your soul, and only the infinite love of God can redeem you. So sometimes I get this suspicion that maybe this infinite love of God, I'm not sure about that. So now I begin to make God in our likeness. I have to pay my dues, I have to pay you back. I have to do something special. I have to sacrifice in order to gain God's love. It's like the person who comes to confession. They come back for a second time and they say, I know I confessed this before, but I want to come back again. I want to make sure I got absolution. I just want to make sure God has forgiven me. Cataphatic. We're limiting the love of God. So when you come to celebrate the power of Jesus Christ, that God who has overcome the world in love, you're speaking about the infinite love of God. I don't care who you are, what happens in your life, you're wandering, you're out on a limb, you've got all sorts of imperfections and failings. The infinite love of God embraces you. Do you actually believe that? Do you believe that the infinite love of God surrounds you? You don't have to qualify. You don't have to please anybody. You don't have to earn it. It's free, infinite. And the only way which you can comprehend this, and the only way in which you can experience this, is in a reckless, enormous act of faith, where all the standards of the world and all the standards of human relationship, paying dues and pleasing people and doing the right thing, all passed over. And you're called into the presence of infinite love. Now, that's apophatic theology about the love of God. It goes way back. In recent times, it's developed by Karl Rahner and Karl Barth, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. These theologians in recent times have given it a lot of attention. But it goes way back. Augustine would tell us, if you grasp God, it's not God. It's beyond us. You can't corner God. You can't arrest God. You can't limit God. You can't put conditions on God. Infinite love. Is this possible? And let me tell you, only in an experience of God's great love are we empowered through the Holy Spirit to live the way of Jesus Christ. Not out of fear,
I'm afraid of hell. That doesn't empower you to follow Jesus Christ. What empowers you to follow Jesus, you are the leper. I am the leper. I'm the man on the cross that says, remember me when you commit to you. He said, don't worry. This day, you will be with me in paradise. Thank you. Thank you. I'm around people who are dying all the time. It's part of my life. Sometimes I meet people, are you fearful? No, no, no. Do you have any anxiety? No. I feel the love of God. I feel the embrace of God's love. Other people, I'm very anxious. I don't know what the next life is like. I'm not sure if I'll make it over the top. Hell is forever, you know. I grew up with this, oh my God, Jesus, I better. When I was a teenager, I went to confession every Saturday. Then I went to communion on Sunday. We didn't go to communion during the week because you had to fast from midnight. And I had to go to school, so we didn't on Sunday. But I had to be really in the state of grace every Sunday to go to Mass, receive communion. If I didn't receive communion, my mother would say, what's the matter? You must have done something very bad. You're not going to communion. Okay, fine. So I go to confession every Saturday. Always looking for a different priest. I'm always putting the big thing last, the little things first. Invariably, the priest would say, did you commit this sin last week? I did, Father. You're not trying hard enough. I say, well, I'll try harder. Never worked, but I tried harder anyway. What a miserable interpretation of God's love. So when you reflect on the power of Jesus Christ in the ascension, the power of love which has overcome the world, I want you to reflect in quiet time, not a lot of time, but quiet time, to see if you can touch the margins of apophatic love, the infinite, absolute, unconditional gift of God belongs to you, each and every one of you, as it belongs to me. We have to make this great act of faith that this is the word of the Lord. Amen.